Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI. I want to tell you a true story about somebody, and I want you to guess to see whether or not you know who this person is that I'm describing. And specifically, I'm going to talk about a particular book that this person has published. I'll reveal what this book is in just a minute as well. But let's see, I'll reveal it for you pretty shortly here in just a minute. So this person published, self-published a book in December of 2012. In that first month, he made about 3,500 sales. The next month after that, a little over 2,000. Month after that, a little over 1,000. The sales continued to sort of dwindle as the months went by, just like many other people who self-publish and even traditionally publish books. But fast forward to today, Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, has then now written the foreword to the same book. He is an advocate of everything this person says. This person, this author, has now sold millions of copies of this same exact book with over 3,500 customer reviews on Amazon. He's sold over 500,000 copies in Brazil alone and became a number one bestseller, including all the traditional books in that country. It was a number one bestseller in France and many other countries around the world as well. Who am I talking about? Any ideas? Well, this person, he changed my life. He's been on this show a couple times in episode 140, where we talked about an early morning routine. He came back in episode 367 talking about something called the miracle equation. And if you haven't guessed by now, this is none other than Hal Elrod, author of the very successful Miracle Morning. Now, I'm not here to talk about the Miracle Morning in terms of what is all inside of it and how it can change your life. It definitely changed my life. And I talk about that story in episode 140, where he came on and he gave me a copy of the book, and I said, this is ridiculous. I would never wake up this early, and now I'm an early morning person and have become more productive than I ever have in my entire life, thanks to Hal. He's gone through some amazing near-death experiences, even being dead for nearly 8 minutes, coming back to life and being told he was never going to walk, and then here he is walking. He then recently had undergone a cancer treatment, being diagnosed and having, I can't remember, but about a 20% chance to live. He survived that. He's now cancer-free. Just an amazing person. But what is also amazing is just how did the Miracle Morning take off, especially after a start that's much like any other start to any other book that we see out there, to our books. And so in this episode, you're actually going to hear a behind-the-scenes interview that I had with him that was for a YouTube video. But this is so good, and it reveals so much about how this book itself was positioned in a way for success to ultimately happen. And again, like I said, it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen at the start. It took some time. But we go into the details. I ask a lot of questions to get deeper into exactly how this all works. And it even inspired me to think about what my next book might be. Now, I'm not talking about Superfriends. I'm talking about the book after this that may be structured in a very similar way to hopefully sort of take advantage of some of these things that he has included in The Miracle Morning that, quite honestly, he even says he didn't do on purpose. But you're going to hear it here today with Hal Elrod, the deep inside details about how The Miracle Morning became such a massive success. But first, let's start with the intro. Here we go.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host, San Diego will always be his number one home, Pat Flynn.
Hey, and real quick, our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you haven't tried a sit/stand desk before, this offer from Uplift is the perfect opportunity. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. A desk should fit the user, right? Which is exactly why Uplift Desk has a ton of customization options. They're stable, the materials are solid. I mean, just the choices of material alone are incredible, all the way from laminate to eco to bamboo and even solid wood. The option to stand while working is just healthier, better circulation, better movement, which helps to reduce all kinds of different health risks and repetitive strains. And over 1 million customers have chosen Uplift Desk for their innovative designs, direct to consumer pricing, same day shipping. They can even give you free accessories with every desk. Uplift is a great deal, and they're built to last and include an industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that as well. So go to upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's upliftdesk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order. What's up, everybody? Pat Flynn here, and welcome to session 382 of the Smart Passive Income Podcast. My name is Pat Flynn, here to help you make more money, save more time, and help more people too, and to help all of us just understand just how this Miracle Morning phenomenon came to be. We have Hal Elrod, so I'm not going to let you wait any longer. This is an interview that was at a WeWork in San Diego, California. He came in to film. We film this. This is going to live on YouTube as well, if it isn't already there. But I wanted to capture this for you too, because it's just so valuable. And it's going to teach you just stuff that isn't really taught anywhere else. He really spills the beans here. And so here he is, Hal Elrod from The Miracle Morning. You're going to hear a little bit of an echo because it was recorded in a larger conference room, but don't mind that. It is worth it. I promise. Here we go. Hey, everybody. I'm here with my good friend, Hal Elrod, author of The Miracle Morning and the new book, The Miracle Equation. And we're here today to talk about books because, Hal, you've sold a lot of books. And I know I'm coming out with some books soon. You might be coming out with some books soon. We're going to dive into Hal's brain to understand, like, how have you been so successful with first initially self-publishing The Miracle Morning? How many copies of Miracle Morning have you sold?
About 1.7 million.
1.7 million self-published around the world. I think you recently told me that you've sold 500,000 in Brazil alone.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about
it. I just found that out the other day. I had no idea.
Dude, so, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, thank
so
you.
We'll talk about international as well. But tell me, how have you been able to decide, like, how have you been able to crack the code for selling books? There's a lot of great books out there, but
yeah,
none of them, hardly any of them.
So this wasn't planned first and foremost, meaning, right? Like, you know, people ask me sometimes, like, did you have this vision for, you know, changing the world and reaching millions of people? And I'm like, I had that vision in a really small way, like, maybe that could happen, but I really doubt it. You know, I think that we all, as human beings, you have doubt and fear and insecurity. And especially when, you know, you check your rearview mirror, as you hear me talk about, like, and there's no evidence that you can do what you're trying to do, right? I had never sold any books. So in fact, that's not true. My first book, Taking Life Head On, came out 6 years before Miracle Morning, and it sold very few copies and it didn't go word of mouth. And it, right. So like the good thing about that is the contrast of being like, oh, here's the wrong way to do it, right? Like, here's why that didn't go viral, why it didn't take off. So I can sum all of this up like in one strategy of what makes The Miracle Morning so viral. And when I say viral, like, it's important to understand there are, so I'll get to the big key in a second, but some of the preliminary stuff, I think it's so important if you're writing a book, launching a business, product, anything, that you're committed over an extended period of time. And that's what The Miracle Equation largely talks about. Like, it's got to be over an extended period of time because stuff doesn't happen quickly as you'd like it to. Mm-hmm. So what's important for people to know is that, and we'll show this graph, right? I have a graph where the most authors, the first month that your book comes out, that's your biggest month ever because you leverage every relationship you have. Mom, dad, brothers, friends, like everybody, please buy my book, right? And then you sell whatever you sell that first month. And then typically you've exhausted everybody in your platform. And then month two, it drops off and then it just goes into obscurity.
So how many did you sell in that first month when Miracle Morning came out?
I sold 1,800 copies on Amazon, right? Self-published. And then here's the lesson. So I didn't have, so it wasn't like this hit out the gate. It wasn't that I had launched to a big platform. I didn't have a platform and I didn't have any connections to a platform. I didn't have friends with blogs or anything. It wasn't like Tim Ferriss where he's like, he had 100 bloggers pumping out his stuff on day one. So month one, I sold 1,800 copies. Month two, I sold, I think about 900. Month three, I sold 783 and then 300 and something. And then 182, right? I mean, so yeah, you'll see this graph, right? It just, now I was committed to essentially the funny part or the interesting thing is the miracle equation is coming out now, but it's how I sold 1 million copies of The Miracle Morning. Big picture. It's not the tactical stuff, which we're going to get into, but I was committed. I had unwavering faith that this message could change people's lives. And so therefore I was committed to put forth extraordinary effort in sharing it until, and that is the operative word. I didn't care if it took me 10 years or 30 years or 40 years to reach. And the original mission was 1 million, change 1 million lives one morning at a time. And that was my target. Now, when we got to 1 million, it was like, okay, we got to go bigger, you know, now let's elevate the consciousness of humanity. But the point is, I was committed to do whatever it took for as long as it took. And so most authors that I meet, they always tell me that, you know, and then they see this graph that you're going to see the 18 months to just to get the book sales back to month one. That's what it took 18 months to do, right? And 150 podcast interviews, over 150, over a dozen TV interviews on Good Morning, Sacramento, no big shows. I got on Good Day Houston, good, right? And busting my butt and not getting paid for it. You know, the month that I got sold 183 copies and made 500 bucks or whatever, nothing crazy. You know, I was still doing 10, 20 podcast interviews every single week and not getting paid for that time.
So this wasn't a blockbuster hit right out of the gate.
No.
But it's since become that.
Yeah.
So until 1 million, and I think this is funny because we write books and we know a lot of authors. After that initial push, it's like, okay, I did my job there. Like, let's get ready for book number two. So in addition to a bunch of podcast interviews and the smaller TV spots, what else did you do during that time to start seeing it ramp up again?
So the main thing was podcast interviews. And I did the TV as kind of an experiment to try. And I paid like, you know, 10 grand to go to this seminar thing where they introduce you to producers and you met network and get on TV. And
is it worth it?
No. I won't say no. I answered that fast. The initial ROI, definitely not worth it. The being on TV did not move the needle for books and being on podcast did. In fact, I think you know this. I don't know if you know this, but your podcast was the tipping point. That is where we got to 1,800 copies after 18 months. Yeah, 18 months, 1,800 copies. And then we went to like 2,000, right? And then when we were on your show, we went from like, we were at 2,800 and we went over 5,000 the next month. And yeah, you hold a special place in my heart, brother.
Thank you for that. But the strategy isn't get on Pat Flynn's show.
No,
right?
No, of course. Yeah.
How would you distill that strategy?
So let me back up to writing the book. So if you have already written a book, you need to, well, if you're traditionally published, that's one of the tough parts about being traditionally published. You're kind of stuck with your book.
You're locked in.
With a self-published book, I've updated this probably 3 times now. I go to Amazon, I read all the 1-star, 2-star, 3-star reviews, and I look for common themes and I go, okay, where did I miss the boat where did I not resonate? Where did I turn people off? And then I go rewrite the book once a year and I change it and I republish it. So go ahead.
I'm just saying you're making it better. This is good.
Making it better. But here's the point. The way you sell 1.7 million copies of your book has more to do with how you write the book than it does the marketing. This is the secret. Okay. This is the key, the number one key. And we can talk about lots of things, but this is the number one foundational fundamental key. Your book needs to change someone's behavior in a meaningful way and change their consistent behavior. So think about most books. They don't change behavior. They only shift your thinking. And while you're reading the book, you're thinking, we've all been there, right? Where you're going, oh, that's real. I never thought of life that way. Brilliant. And then maybe you're telling a friend that day, one day, because you're like, dude, I'm reading this book because of the emotional response. You got to read this.
Right.
So word of mouth will happen for the 3 weeks that you're reading the book. As soon as we're done reading a book, what do we usually do with the information in that book? We usually do very little. And our first action after reading a book is to start another book. Mm-hmm. And now our brain space is occupied with all of that knowledge in the new book. And we're forgetting about the old book. And we repeat that path. In Miracle Equation, it's what I call personal development junkie, right? You become a personal development junkie where you think that the knowledge is improving your life.
Yeah.
But it's it's the applied knowledge, as we know, right?
I heard this term the other day. I think Shalene Johnson, I can't remember who said it, but it was procrastilearning.
Nice, yeah.
Which I relive. And it's funny that you mentioned that because we authors who write book after book after book are kind of leading that cause of having our readers go from book to book to book.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So how did you design this book to do the opposite?
So and let me say this too, by the way. I did not write this book, again, with the intention of it being some bestseller, with it being a movement. I did not write it. Most of the things that I'm about to share with you, I did accidentally, intuitively. I mean, there's a few things I did on purpose, you know, that I look back and I'm like, oh, that actually worked. But for the most part, it wasn't until the book took off like crazy and I went, and I reverse engineered it. I'm like, okay, what, like, let me, and I reread my own book and I'm like dissecting, like, what is it that, and then I surveyed my audience. I'm like, why do you share that? Right. So I mean, I really found out.
Yeah.
And behavior change was the number one thing. And again, a book shifts your thinking. It's temporary. Our brains are short. Our memories are short. We forget we're onto a new book. But if it changes your behavior by instilling some sort of routine or ritual, ideally daily, but it could be weekly. Let's say you write a book on marriage or dating, right? Let's say marriage. And you give your couples that are reading the book a daily journaling ritual where they write what they're grateful for about each other, right? Or a weekly date night that's really unique and fun, and you give them actually like a series of questions they can print off as a handout, which is another big bonus on having downloads and how that we're now up to, I'll just tease this, but we get 43,000 opt-ins, new opt-ins every single month from not a Facebook headline of someone that doesn't deeply know me, people that are reading the book and they want to get the bonuses. So 43,000 opt-ins a month, and that grows every month.
Where are those call to actions? In the book itself?
Yeah, so let's go back to
the book and the behavioral change. We'll get into that,
yes,
that call to
yes,
action.
Yes, thank office. You.
So behavioral change, like for those who don't know The Miracle Morning, how would you describe the behavioral change that you're giving?
So The Miracle Morning, and I have some people, when I say this, they're like, well, raise their hand and go, yeah, but your book is literally you're giving people a daily ritual. Like my book is on starting a business, or my book is on, it's not on like a daily, you're literally, your book's about a daily ritual, right? So, but The Miracle Morning, so it changes people's behavior in a meaningful way daily. Mm-hmm. So they're doing this thing. So think about it. You do The Miracle Morning and you've read it 6 years ago or something.
Yeah.
So you think about it. When people leave a dinner party early, as most Miracle Morning fanatical practitioners do, and they're like, dude, why, it's only 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock. Why are you leaving? And be like, oh, I do a thing called Miracle Morning. They might have read the book 3 years ago, but it's part of their daily life and it's still adding value to their life. So they're still talking about it with other people. And the year that I had cancer and I was fighting for my life in a hospital for really the whole year, the year before that I did, you know, like 60 podcast interviews. And then I did 0 podcast interviews and we sold 131,000 the year I did, busted my butt to market it. And we sold 1,000 less copy, basically the same amount, 130,000. With zero marketing, no Facebook ads, no nothing. It's the embedded marketing of behavior change that people go out and talk about.
But it had that kickstart from all the hard work you did, and all the podcast
episodes,
right? which was necessary.
At that point, I had done well over 200 podcast interviews.
Right. But as soon as it started to get spread and people behaved differently, and you know, there's some things in here that are really great too that I know are baked into the marketing aspect of this book as well. The behavioral change and other people being curious about that behavioral change, like you said, well, what is Miracle Morning? First of all, you give it a good name that people can describe the whole thing.
Great curiosity. So that's,
right. But also the idea that people can do that in a single day and have a change and in a quick win.
Yeah, I learned that from you, quick win.
Yeah, quick win. It's funny because I have a book called Will It Fly, which is not a quick win. There are some quick wins in there, especially in the beginning of the book. So I follow my own advice, but it's not a Miracle Morning where a person can go, I did this and look at the results I got right away. The Will It Fly sort of strategy takes, you know, a week or two to get to a point where you are now constructively building your business and validating your tests and testing your business ideas. Whereas Miracle Morning is just like, boom. It almost reminds me of Mel Robbins' book, Five Second Rule.
Sure.
Because literally you just count down from five.
That's the fastest win you can get. Yeah.
I mean, it's funny with these books that are like viral in a sense. To me, it almost seems like just the subject matter is quite easy to distill. Wake up early, count down from five when you need to do something that you know you need to do. There was another book. I can't remember the name of it. We'll pop it on the screen here. It's by a Navy SEAL or somebody in the Navy who just talks about making your bed in the morning.
Yeah.
Like that's the one thing you need to do that stacks kind of the things that you do every day and accomplishing more and more and more. I mean, The Miracle Morning could be literally a page.
Yeah, it could. Yeah.
But tell us why it's not a page and why, for those of us who have these great ideas and behavioral changes that we could offer our audience, why not just a blog post or a video? Why a whole book, and how does the book actually support that?
So here's the thing, right, is that you want to, like, you want people to actually change their life, right? And the longer someone spends with an idea, first of all, the more it becomes ingrained, the more likely they are to change their life, right? You know, I don't know a metric on this, but I don't know how many blog posts change the life, because you spend 5 minutes with it.
Right.
That means it takes 5 minutes of your time, and then you go back to your regular life. So the value of a book, when done well, and Mel Robbins' 5 second rule, well, let's dissect that for a second. It's a great example, because it's called the 5 second rule. That's the concept that she teaches in the book. And it literally takes about that much time to explain what it is, right?
Okay.
You want to do something, instead of letting your fear and self-doubt override you, you count down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and you do it. And then you are reprogramming yourself to take action, right? I just explained it. Now, you know, I would imagine if we took 1,000 people and I gave that 5 second explanation, and then we measured 6 months later, how many of them were still living the 5 second rule? Probably wouldn't be very many. But Mel Robbins' book has sold millions of copies because she took a simple concept and she built context around it so that the reader could, A, understand it very deeply through all sorts of stories and analogies, right? You really need to get it. And here's the thing, you could be reading a book and be like, ah, I kind of get it, you know, chapter one, yeah, two, I'm not sure. It might be the story in chapter three or the real life example of someone that you connect with and relate to. You're like, oh, that's why that can't be done in a blog post.
Right, or maybe you're more of a sciencey, logical
yeah.
person, so then she dives into the science behind that. And then you go, oh, well, that's my trigger to
yep.
start doing that.
And she does a big part, you know, for her, I really like what she did, where she, for testimonials and like case studies, she took, you know, she had taught the 5 second rule for years, and she took screenshots of all these, you know, social media posts of saying how people use it in their life. So yeah, when you're every one of those you read reinforces, if it worked for them, it could work for me. If it worked for them, it could work for me. And then, oh, the way it worked for them, that applies to me,
yeah.
right? And so that's it. And I always say with the new book, with the Miracle Equation, we need to show a little more. It's a really pretty cover. with the Miracle Equation, I said this to you before. It's deceptively simple in its explanation. Like if I just told you what the two decisions are, it would add no value to your life. But so I created the Miracle Equation when I was 20 years old, you know, as a concept, and I've lived it for 19 years, and it's how I beat cancer, and it's how I learned to walk, and it's how I sold 1 million copies of Miracle Morning. It's made of two really simple decisions: develop unwavering faith and put forth extraordinary effort. So if you hear that, you're like, yeah, I know I'm supposed to believe in myself and believe I can do it and work hard. Great. Thanks, author. Right? Like that doesn't work. But when you read this book, because here's the thing, we don't need more information. We need methods for implementation. Right. And so that's what that book was. It was like, it's like, okay, well, here's two decisions that take me 5 seconds to explain, but do you want to understand them, or do you want to understand how to integrate, implement, and sustain them for the rest of your life so you create everything that you want? Got it. That's why you need to spend a little more time with it.
And that's why the Miracle Morning, I believe, works really well, because you've distilled this idea of waking up, not just wake up early, but the why behind it, but also a structure, the savers.
Sure.
And that was really smart too.
Hugely important,
because people can now easily share that with their friends and other people and then go get the book. The other part about this that I like, it's not super thick. Like it doesn't take me more than a day to read this.
Yeah, 142,000 words, 142 pages. And I will say with my new book, it's a little over 200 pages. And I honestly was like, probably we could have made it 50 pages, although they did double spacing and stuff. But anyway, but I do think shorter is better. I will say that. Like I would honestly, I think, if it's not broken, don't fix it. Right? 150 page book to me is kind of a nice little sweet spot where people can, a quick win. The longer the book, statistically, the less likely they are to read it. That's a fact. The less likely they are to finish it and the less likely they are to start it. I don't have the, link all the studies.
Yeah, I'll put all the links below and the fact that I haven't finished more than these yet as well. Okay, so let's talk all about the book and the people who read the book and how they help push the book out as well. You've built in these strategies, but you've built a Facebook group and a community.
Yeah.
You have the opt-ins that people can have and download, and that's growing your community as well. Let's talk about that really quick since you brought that up earlier. Tell me exactly how you get people who read this book on your email list, and then what do you do with them?
Yeah. The secret to getting opt-ins, and I was at Archangel Academy, actually. I was at an event, and I was part of an author panel, and there was a publisher there. And they go, what's the average, opt-in rate for when you give bonuses in a book? And she goes, our authors average about 8 to 12% opt-in rate. And like, I felt bad to raise my hand. And like, I'm like, we get 82% opt-in rate. Of every 10 82. People that read our book, 8.2 of them opt in. And she was like, And she like goes glaring at me. I'm like, I just got to tell you guys, you know. Yeah. And here's how. Or here's my theory and kind of, you know, as much as I can distill why that is. So in the book, there's not one bonus. There are five different bonuses.
Different bonuses. Okay.
All of them are available at the same URL, tmmbook.com. So if you want to opt in and model the opt-in page, model the funnel, model the bonus, I mean, you model it all, tmmbook.com. So one URL for the bonuses, five different bonuses that are all highly relevant to what they're reading at the time. So for example, when they get to the chapter on affirmations, right? And I debunk how affirmations have been taught by most self-help pioneers as this really fluffy, flowery, I am amazing. They don't work that way, right? Like here's how you create affirmations that produce results. So people are like, oh, this is great. And then I say, hey, if you want to download, you know, like my miracle morning affirmations, whatever, you know, you can go here. And then I go, and as a bonus, I decided to include my personal, this is like a little ninja bonus tip, my personal affirmations that I used the year I wrote this book to write a book that had been on my goal list for 6 years. If you have any goals on your list that you've pushed off for any reason, that affirmation might really help you. But so you think about it as every author should do that. Every author should give as many peek behind the curtains as possible. Right? If I'm a reader and I'm loving the book and I'm like, dude, I could download his personal affirmations and I tell him they're not just for this book. It's my affirmations for my health, for my parenting. They're all there, right? So that's one bonus. So again, if you're reading the affirmations chapter, you're sold on affirmations. Why wouldn't I go download the example affirmations that I can learn from and model, right? But let's say you're like, I don't care about affirmations. But then you keep reading and then you get to the chapter on journaling. And it's like, hey, want to download a free sample of the Miracle Morning Journal that you can utilize for an entire week, right? You know, and test it out and see if you like it. They're, wow, journaling, it's free. It's okay. But that's like, I don't want it. Here's the point. By the time they get to the end of the book, they've been given five, you know, offers for five relevant, valuable bonuses, not cheesy, to where I always say, if you haven't got an opt-in by that time, either your book sucks or your bonuses suck. Because, right, and it's the whole, when I was in sales at 19, we learned the average sale is made like right between the third and the fifth time it's asked for, I think. You know, so I don't remember the exact number, but right, because you ask someone, and here's the thing, here's a little like bonus advanced sales psychology. When you ask someone to make a purchase with you, you are giving them an opportunity to consider something that they may have never considered in their entire life, right? Mm-hmm. And it involves parting with money for something they've never given any thought to. So they're going, now they're considering it. Right? But there may be, well, I don't know if it's the right decision for me. When you ask again, you're giving an opportunity to revisit something they've now considered and you're moving them closer to it being a yes, right? So that's the idea of why you have to ask multiple times. So by the time they get to the third or fourth bonus, they're like, if they haven't opted in yet, they're going to opt in, right? Maybe they didn't opt in even because they're just like, they're like loving the book,
yeah,
right? But either way, you got to give them multiple points to go and opt in.
Love that. And then your Facebook group, tell me how that helps.
So that was an 11th hour decision from a friend. Very miraculous. I mean, it was, you know, one of those where I sent a handful of my friends the almost finished manuscript, like a week, you know, a few weeks before the book was going to go to print. I was like, hey, will you please read this? Like, I'll pay you to read it. Like, I want you to actually read the whole thing and give me thoughtful feedback. You know, it's so important. And one, John Vroman, our friend, said, he emailed back and he said, hey, do you have any kind of like online forum or group that people are going to be able to connect about their practice? And I was like, no. He said, well, you know, think about it. It's pretty lonely. Like they're going to be up an hour earlier than normal or 30 minutes earlier. Their rest of the family probably still sleeping. Their roommates are sleeping. And it's really easy if it gets tough for that initial, you know, excitement wears off. And this is true for everyone's book, right? I mean, especially if you're giving behavior change, because they're going to need people that can, hey, how is it working for you? Are you trying this? What's working? What's not? Hey, I got a tip. This is what, right? And so I was like, that's a brilliant idea. And I was like, maybe I'll get like Kajabi or something and set up a little community. Mm-hmm. He said, Hal, if I were you, and this is going to be an important thing because I'm doing it differently now. We talked about this today.
Yeah.
But he said, if I were you, I would use Facebook groups. And this was 2012. So they're, you know, different back then. But he said, because don't give people another place to log in. They're already on Facebook. They're already getting notifications on their phone. Why would you, you know, make them log somewhere else? And right, he goes, plus Facebook's probably pretty smart at the way they create the functionality in the group so they people can interact, blah, blah, blah. I was like, all right. So we started a Facebook group with like five people, me, mom, dad, sister, and my buddy, John. And I didn't, you know, I just did it because I was like, yeah, that's a smart idea. There are now over 200,000 people in that Facebook group from over 100 countries. I don't market it. Well, I take that back, but I don't like Facebook at it. It's just in the book, and this is a ninja tip. in the beginning of the book. So in the table of contents, I don't know if you can see this, but it says a special invitation, the Miracle Morning community. And if they go to the next page, right, it basically sells them, if you will, on the Miracle Morning community on, hey, this is, I created this so people could connect, and it's become one of the most inspired online communities in the world. Again, self-publishing, I was able to edit it once it actually became a deal.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I was able to go from, you know, check out this community, it might be cool, I have no idea, I just made it, right? Mm-hmm. To now there's 5,000 people in here helping each other. Now there's 15, you know, it just kept growing. But here's the ninja trick, the little bonus trick. And I added this in my second rewrite. It says a special invitation in the pre-material. At the end, it says a special invitation, exactly the same, but it says in parentheses, in case you missed it the first time. Mm-hmm. And my theory was, I'm like, that's going to make someone go take up notice and go, oh, wait, it's in here twice. Like, that must be important. Mm-hmm. So where a lot of people don't read pre and post material, that created more of a reason to do so. And so everyone from that group is reading the book. They come opt-in. The tagline is 150,000 people who wake up every day and support each other. And that's the general idea of what I believe your Facebook community should be. And if you want to give a format, you can give like, hey, go in there and share, you know, if you have a win, share your win. If you have a give, something you want to help somebody with, or if you have an ask, right? So win, give, ask, ask, give, win is a great kind of model that other, you know, Jason Gignard and these guys do that. Now, and also something that I did not do that if I were you, I would do is there should be a welcome video from you. So that's really key. It connects the reader to you. We went from the book to seeing you in person, hearing your voice. There's an intimate connection now, right? So there should be a video from you, which I don't even have.
On the Facebook group.
On the Facebook group at the top, the pinned post, yeah. Okay. That says, welcome to the Facebook group, yeah.
Do you have a video on the landing page for your bonuses?
I have an aversion to video. I have no aversion to talking. And actually, I've gotten over it. I've had to do some major work in the last, so I'm now doing way more videos. But for the last 5 years, I can get on stage and talk to 10,000 people, no problem. Holding my phone and talking to it, I go, So that's why, literally, that's why there is no video on the thank you page. And it just shows if there was, I'd probably convert even better, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
So this started out self-published.
Yeah.
And when did it become traditionally published?
It's still self-published in the US, and it's traditionally published in 35 other countries now. We just signed a country that I have never heard of. It's like Guadalajara or something. I don't even know. But so yeah, it's in 35 countries. So I went to a dinner. I was invited to an entrepreneurial dinner. I think the Miracle Morning had sold about 40,000 copies at that point, maybe 100, but I think it was 40,000.
Very respectable still.
Yeah, I mean, it was still respectable. And this dinner was, John Assaraf was sitting over here. Mike Koenigs was here. John Lee Dumas was here. There was all these really big players, you know, and I remember my wife called me and I like went into the restroom and she's like, how's the dinner going? I'm like, I don't know how the hell I got into this. Like, there are some legit legends sitting around this table, you know? And she's like, you're a legend, sweetie. I'm like, okay, thanks. So Mike Koenigs and I struck up a conversation, started talking about books. And he said, Hal, do you want to be, or have you thought about leveraging, like 40,000 is a lot of books. He said, you could get a traditional publishing deal. I said, I love that. I think that's how I can reach more people with Miracle Morning with this book. I don't have an agent. I don't even know where to begin, really. He goes, I have the best agent in the world. I'll connect you. So he connected us. I was really nervous that, you know, she wouldn't, whatever. She picked me up. We met with 13 New York publishers. We got 9 offers, and I'll be very transparent, right? So the top 2 offers were for $250,000 advances. They wanted the rights to the book, right? They were going to take the exact book and just publish it themselves, mm-hmm. keep all my royalties and my rights. And so they offered $250,000. Those were the top 2 offers. I did the math. And as a self-published author, I earned about 70% on this book. And I was selling about, I think we were up to 10,000 copies a month. So it was earning like, I don't even know, $40,000 a month or something, right? And so I, you know, did the math and I'm like, all right, that'd be a really great check to get in the mail. And then I would regret it for the rest of my life, yeah. right? And let me pause by saying this. When I first wrote The Miracle Morning, when I was writing it, I'm like, I believed, like many of us, this was before self-publishing wasn't as prevalent. I was like, I have to find a publisher, right? So I hired a woman. I paid her like $6,000. She was one of the best book proposal writers. And we wrote a proposal, spent 6 months researching. It was a 35-page proposal. And during that time, I did enough self-research to go, wait, I think self-publishing is a better option for me and 99% of authors. And here's the reason. I realized that, okay, so if I go traditional, they keep most of my royalties, right? I would get like 8 to 12% instead of 70%. Mm-hmm. They will keep all the rights to my book, most likely. So I don't know. Basically, unless you have a big platform with a million people on your list or 100,000 people on your email list, You have no leverage with the publisher. They don't care about your, that's where authors get mixed up. I have the best idea. Nobody gives a crap about your idea. Everybody has, there's a million ideas out there. They only care about your ability to sell books. That's because they're a business and they're giving you an advance for ROI. They want to make money. So I came to the conclusion, I have to self-publish. And I said, and I basically the miracle equation came into play. I have unwavering faith that this book can change the world. I am committed to putting forth extraordinary effort until it does, no matter what. There's no other option. It doesn't matter how long it takes, right? And here was my theory, Pat, and it was a full-on Hail Mary. It was like I had no clue, no basis of speaking, but I thought, but it just to me, it was the only thing that made sense. I went, I'm going to promote this. I will put my heart and soul into it for as long as it takes until publishers take notice and they come knocking on my door and they're like, this Miracle Morning book, like, it's everywhere. It's selling a lot of copies. But I had, it was just a Hail Mary. I had no idea. It was unwavering faith, right? And so that's what happened, right? Is I went with the publishers. I got the offers and I turned them all down. And this is a tip though, and you're an example of this. I introduced you to my agent. You are now published traditionally. I mean, self-published in the US, right? Traditional in overseas. Mm-hmm. And so this is this hybrid publishing model that most people don't really know about. I didn't know about it. So when I turned down all the offers, my agent came back and said, our foreign rights department would really think this book will sell well overseas. And I'm like, how does that work? Like, what does that mean? They go, she said, you keep all your rights in the US, which is where I sell 98% of my books or whatever. And you get foreign deals and they translate it. They'll put it in traditional bookstores in their country, in airports, in train stations, you know? And I'm like, okay, so what do I lose out on by doing this? She's like, nothing.
Yeah.
You just keep all your royalties and get more if any country.
It's an add-on, basically.
Yeah, it's an add-on. I'm like, I feel like it's a little too good to be true, but okay. And then and all of a sudden that offer comes in for, you know, $3,000 advance for Russia, and then a $6,000 advance for, you know, and then a $60,000 advance from, I mean, they just kept coming. And it's been an extraordinarily lucrative, plus the Brazil thing just happened where I went down there and, number one in Brazil and all that.
Yeah, and you were number one in France as well.
Number one in Korea, number one in Brazil, number six in France, number six in UK. Those are the top four.
And it's because this idea of the Miracle Morning is a worldwide sort of phenomenon now.
It's universal. Yeah, I mean, well, the concept's universal. And that's the thing that was my theory again with the publishers is like the book didn't take off in other countries very quickly. Because again, nobody had a platform out there to launch it. They were just putting it in the bookstores or whatever. But it was, I'm like, I would tell my agents, I go, let's be patient. Uh-huh. Because if, you know, all it is another language, but it's the same exact book. I go, based on what happened in the US, I think it'll hit a tipping. It's a matter of time. It'll just start to gain traction. Word of mouth, people will be doing it. Their behavior's better. They're telling other people about it. And that's sure enough. It just, like, it came out in Brazil 3 or 4 years ago. It hit number one for the first time ever last week. It's word of mouth.
And I know along the way you've had some help promotionally from some celebrities, which I know was a big surprise to you. I remember when...
Only in Brazil, to be clear.
Only in Brazil.
Yeah. That's how it took off.
Didn't Robert Kiyosaki...
Okay, no, yeah, you're right. Kiyosaki. That counts. Yes, you're at Robert Kiyosaki.
Yes.
And then let me say how this happened, right? So this is, you know, like I think I've said to you, like I feel so blessed, so fortunate, so lucky. You know I've worked hard, and I think the adage, the harder you work, the luckier you get is true. You know, that's when the miracles happen. Like you can't predict the miracles. So I was but you have to put yourself out there and you have to go, you know, and you just go, you know, you don't do what most authors do, which is promote hard for a month and then move to the next squirrel, the next rabbit, chase the next thing, right? Like I have every author that when I tell my story, they're like, dude, I only promoted my book hard for a month and then I went on to something else. If I would have promoted it for 18 months like you did, I wonder what would have happened. So don't wonder. Promote it and do 10 podcast interviews, 20 weeks. And by the way, when I started, I knew no podcasters. So here's how I reach, and you might have, you're the podcast that you're a guru on this. The way I reach out to podcasters is I went to this is my strategy that I did and I teach it. I went to New and Noteworthy on iTunes and I scrolled down to the lowest performing New and Noteworthy podcast on all of iTunes in the categories that matter. I went to their website. I reached out to them and here's why. They're a new podcast, which means they're not being inundated like Pat Flynn with hundreds of requests every week to be on your show because they're new. Nobody knows about them yet, right? However, they're getting traction. So I thought so that to me was like the perfect storm. So that's who I hit up. Mm. And I got on, you know, and it was a numbers game. I'd reach out to 20 of them and three would respond and I'd get on two or whatever. And then every time I got on to use my direct sales training, at the end I said, hey, thank you so much. I'm really trying to get this. I hope that was good for you. I'm trying to get this message out. I hope that adds value for your audience. Do you know any other podcasts that you could introduce me to? Like I can send you like a quick blurb, a paragraph to copy and paste and just send an email intro that this would be a good fit for. And they're like, most would say yes. Mm-hmm. And I would make it easy for them. I'd say, here you go. And it would say, Hal Elrod was just on my show and he said, right? and they could copy and paste that. And that's how, and I kept doing the new and noteworthy thing, but I also went after referrals and I would do anyone's show. And I just, and that's what I did. And then finally it led to a bigger and a bigger and a bigger podcast. And each one gave me more credibility. So that's one. With the Robert Kiyosaki thing, any questions on that?
No, keep going.
Okay. So the Robert Kiyosaki, I was speaking at an event called GoBundance. It's one of my favorite, it's a mastermind that I'm part of. And I joined it after I spoke there. It's a men's mastermind, GoBundance. And Robert Kiyosaki was the keynote speaker and I was his warm-up act, right? And afterwards, I got in, the elders, the founders of GoBundance invited me to have dinner with them and Robert. And so I had a copy of Miracle Morning, of course, in my bag, like I always do. And I signed it for Robert, wrote a nice note that his book is one of my, it's one of my favorite financial books of all time, Rich Dad Poor Dad, and wrote him a note. And I'm sitting there, and I remember being at the table. I think it was on my lap or in my bag. But basically, I was like debating. I'm like, I had Googled his net worth beforehand. I was just curious. Like, you know, it was 80 million. I'm like, he's not going to read my little self-published book. He's not looking for a book on how to be successful, you know? And then it was the whole, you miss all the shots you don't take. So I'm like, I have nothing to lose. I'm going to hand him the book. I'm going to tell him his work's meant a lot to me. That's it. So I did that, thinking he'll probably never read it, but miss all the shots you don't take. I'll take one. 3 weeks later, I get an email from his assistant and she says, Robert has read The Miracle Morning 3 times in the last 3 weeks. He had his wife read it too. They're doing it together almost every day. It is changing their lives and he wants to interview you on Rich Dad Radio. And I'm like, And the funny part is, I'm like, you know, you get exciting news, you want to share it.
Yeah.
So I go down, I'm like, Ursula, to my wife, Ursula, Robert Kiyosaki. This is like, this is crazy. She's like, this is Robert Kiyosaki. I'm like, damn it, it's no fun to share stuff. You don't know what I'm, you're not in the same space as me. But so I went on Rich Dad Radio and it was like I paid him $1 million to sell my book the entire, I mean, he was so passionate.
Yeah.
And now that was 5 years ago. He talks about it in every single speech he gives. I get emails from South Africa. Hey, I was in the audience in South Africa and Robert said your book changed his life and we need to get it. And it's in his new book. I mean, yeah, it's crazy.
That's crazy. So fast forward to today, you're still promoting the book. And obviously you're promoting this one as well. But obviously this isn't just a one and done promotion.
No,
the first time you launch it.
It's forever.
You've practiced what you're preaching right now, yeah. For sure.
And here's beauty. I'm not promoting. I mean, I am promoting it, you know, but there are hundreds of thousands of people that are doing it because it changed their behavior every day, right? And they're promoting it. But yeah,
right.
But yes, I am promoting it.
Which goes back to the discussion earlier.
Exactly.
About how important the book and the behavioral changes it offers is.
Yeah.
Any other ninja things that you are doing to help get these?
And I want to go back to the content. You have to have a framework that is memorable for people to implement. And this is, my wife gets all the credit for this. If it wasn't for my wife, first of all, she named it The Miracle Morning. Second of all, she created the framework, which is called The Savers. She didn't create the framework. She created the name. And here's what I mean. I had 6 practices that made up The Miracle Morning. And the idea was taking the 6 most timeless, proven personal development practices in the history of humanity. And instead of picking one of them, most people like they'll meditate or they'll read or they'll journal or they'll do. I thought, what if I did all of these? That'd be the ultimate morning ritual. And therefore I should receive the ultimate benefit because I'm benefiting from all these things and each one's life-changing. So that was the idea. But they were 6 random hodgepodge practices that didn't have any way to, I mean, they didn't fit in any way. They weren't connected in any way, really. I didn't invent any of them. So it's not like, oh, this is the first time, you know, it's like, yeah, you're telling us to do 6 things that we've heard about before.
Yeah.
And so one day I was writing the book frustrated with trying to figure this out. And I literally can picture, I met my wife and I crossed paths in the hallway. And she's like, hey, sweetie, how's it going? I'm like, I'm frustrated. And she's like, what? I'm like, I don't know, I guess it's writer's block. But I said, all these authors have a framework that makes their content where it's like, you can remember it, you can talk about it, you can share it, you can implement it. I said, Stephen Covey has the 7 habits of highly effective people. Robert Kiyosaki has the cash flow quadrant. I've got these 6 hodgepodge practices that have no rhyme or reason that I didn't invent. I don't know what to do. She goes, and you can take this exact same strategy. She said, why don't you go to the thesaurus and see if there's other words that would replace some of the words that are in these 6 things and see if you could form an acronym so it would fit together and people could remember it. Kissed her on the face. I'm like, that's interesting. And so let me go through the 6 practices real quick, right? How they were and how they are.
Okay.
Originally, it was meditation, affirmation, so M-A, visualization, V, exercise, E, reading, R, journaling, J.
Maver J.
Maver J. It's Maver J. And I literally was like, I'm like, maybe it's called the Maver J strategy. You know? That was literally part of my notes.
What if? Wow.
Oh my God. And so, and if I would have done that, or even just put the 6 things in without the, I can, my bet is My bet is from feedback. So here's what it became. Meditation became silence, which I actually like because some people, they want to pray for their silence in the morning, right? So, or do both. Journaling became scribing, right? Which, as my friend JP Sears, the comedian, says, is a pretentious word for writing. So it became the savers, and then it became longer in the book, the lifesavers. And here's the deal. Number one is the meaning. I go, these are literally the six practices that are virtually guaranteed to save us, you, me, from missing out on the life that we want to live. Like, if you do these every day, they will save you from missing out on your full potential, right? So it's like, the acronym is beautifully like, perfect. And then, but the second thing is, people can just, it's in their head, it savers. They're like, all right, silence. All right, affirmations. Visualization, right? They just run through it. And here's where the audience affirming it. When you go into the Miracle Morning community on Facebook, you go into the Facebook group, we've done searches for this. The term savers shows up more often than the term Miracle Morning.
Wow.
So people are going in, hey, I'm, you know, having love in my savers, or hey, I'm having trouble with the A in savers. How do you guys do your affirmate, right? So that's the act. The Miracle Morning is the entire concept. It involves, in the book, I teach you how to wake up early if you're not a morning person. What to do first? It's why to wake up early. Here's an important framework for your book. Why should they do what you are telling them to do, right? Like, how is it going to radically transform their life? And that's where, like, Mel Robbins' book, can you give examples? Can you give real? And if it's nobody else's story, it's your story, right? And when I wrote the book, there were not that many, I mean, there were some testimonials because I was teaching in here and there, but it was mostly my story. It's like, look at how this changed my life. It could change your life, right? So that's the why. So that gets people convinced, like, okay, I'm going to read the rest of this book because I see that if I do, this is the outcome that's possible for me. Mm-hmm. Okay. Number two is, okay, well, for me, it was the how. It was like, but I'm not a morning. I knew the objection. You have to think, what's your objection? What's your audience's roadblocks that are coming to play? What are the beliefs or limiting beliefs that are going to hold them back? For me, it was, I'm not a morning person. So I had to handle that and teach you how to beat the snooze button. And then it's okay. Now that I'm convinced I got to wake up early, like this is a game changer for me, or could be, I now know how to do that. I know how to get over the obstacles that could hold me back. Well, what do I do during that time I wake up? And then that's where the savers came into play, right? So those are the three parts of what your book needs to do. That needs to sell them on why and the benefits of what they're going to do. It needs to teach them how. And the how is as important as the what to do. It's the what not to do, or what to do to prevent the potential roadblocks or distractions. And then it's the, okay, now that I'm doing it, how do you, you know, give me the step-by-step formula and make it simple, hold their hand, make it easy.
It's so great. So how do you practice that in this new book, The Miracle Equation?
Yeah, it was harder, right? I mean, yeah, but it's a great question. So I didn't reinvent the wheel. I was going to just put I'm just going to teach them how to filter the miracle equation through the savers, right? And I do that in, like, I wrote a book called Miracle Morning Millionaires, What the Wealthy Do Before 8 a.m. That Will Make You Rich. And it was, how do you apply the miracle morning to becoming wealthy, right? And so we just took the savers and we're like, all right, well, for your silence, here's like ways you can meditate to embody the feelings of deservedness for you to become wealthy, because most of us don't have that. We just think we're deserving of whatever everyone around us is. Like, oh, everybody's broke, I'm broke, great. Or everybody's average, I'm average, great. Middle class, okay, cool. Right. So we filtered, and then creating affirmations that affirmed what level of wealth you were committed to. What's your specific outcome? What are the actions that you have to, why is that? Sorry. Here's a four-step affirmation formula, by the way. Okay. I'm going to give, this is bonus. This is really, I believe the affirmations have been taught wrong over the years. Either lie to yourself, I'm a millionaire. I am this, I am that, where you're trying to trick yourself into believing you're something you're not, right? Mm-hmm. Lying will always, you know, be not ideal, and the truth will always prevail. The second problem is that affirmations use this flowery passive language where it's like, money flows to me effortlessly. Like, no, it doesn't. You work hard for your money. I work hard for my money. We're not money magnets, right? But the secret will tell you, be a money magnet and it'll just fly into the, right? No. So here are the four steps to create affirmations that produce tangible, measurable miracles, like I talk about in the new book. Number one, what outcome you're committed to, not the one you want. We all want to be wealthy. We want to be healthy. We want to be happy. No, I'm committed to becoming a millionaire. I'm committed to losing 20 pounds. I'm committed to running a marathon on this day, right? So number one is what you're committed to. Number two is why it's deeply meaningful to you. It's the whole Simon Sinek, right? I mean, the why is where we get leverage. Like, I wanted to be wealthy since I was, like, you know, 19 years old. I didn't get what I would call wealthy until I was in my 30s. And it wasn't until I had a child at age 30 that all of a sudden I added to the get rich so I can buy stuff, you know, and have freedom to travel. So I'm like, wait a minute. I now am responsible for a wife and a daughter, and I owe it to them to provide financial security and freedom for our family. That got me up in the morning to figure out whatever it took to make that wealth happen. Number three is, what are the specific actions that you'll take to move you toward that outcome and pretty much make it inevitable? Like the book talks about, like, how do you make it? So if you do these things, you can't not get there.
Yeah.
You want to lose weight and you burn more calories than you take in, unless you have a genetic, you know, defect, like, you're going to lose weight, right? It's inevitable. So what are the actions? And then number four is, when will you take those actions? So those are four steps to creating affirmations that will produce measurable results. It's not just make you feel good and whatever, right? So in the book, I simplified it. I went, okay, what, you know, instead of putting the whole miracle morning in there, which I almost did, I decided to take what I feel is the single most important and effective practice, which I just taught you. So you already got it. It's affirmations, because affirmations are the most concrete. When you write your affirmations the way I taught you, they are a blueprint and a roadmap for what you need to focus on, why you're focusing on it, what specific actions you must take, and when you will take them to ensure that your biggest goals move from possible to probable to inevitable, which is the subtitle of the book. And that's it. So once you learn the miracle equation, I mean, two big things. Number one is, it gives you a template to create your affirmations that are in alignment with all of the, you know, steps in the book of creating your mission and these different things. And then last but not least is not reinventing the wheel. What I believe made the miracle morning so effective was a 30-day challenge at the end. And what that did is it gave people a 30-day commitment to make the behavior change, something that would be installed in their life and be lasting. And I cannot tell you, I mean, the 82,000 or 43,000 people a month that opt in, they're mostly opting in for the Miracle Morning for the 30-day challenge bonus. Like, it's a worksheet where, and a tracking sheet, and it's got all of it, right? So I didn't reinvent the wheel. I put a new version, but I mean, you know, a model version in the miracle equation of a 30-day challenge. And here's, this is kind of one of the last, well, I might say more, but here's the last thing I'll kind of say to wrap this up, is the, like I said, the decisions of the miracle equation are deceptively simple to explain, but rarer than in execution. It's develop unwavering faith and put forth extraordinary effort. However, here's the thing is, it's not about understanding, like, well, yeah, I get that. No. This book is going to teach you how to do it. It's going to walk you through it the same way that over a million people that had never been a morning person in their entire life now wake up at 6 or 5 or 4 or whatever every day. It's not that they didn't know that waking up early might be good. It's that no one gave them the method for implementation. That's what this is about. So imagine that, you know, 30 days from now, you don't just know about it. You actually are now approaching every opportunity in your life, your biggest goals and dreams, through the lens of unwavering faith that you can have, be, and do anything that you want, no matter how long you haven't been able to get it. And then you're now putting forth extraordinary effort every single day that feels ordinary, which is what I do in there, is make it ordinary, so that you are making progress. And that as long as you keep following the process, your success, it's only a matter of time. You know, and that was a miracle morning. I didn't know if it would take me 1 year or 30 years. I just knew that I was committed to create that miracle. And it took me about 2 years to have it really, you know, start to bear fruit.
I love that. And obviously more of the miracle equation on the YouTube video that we did with Hal earlier. And one final thing, because this is great, by the way. Thank you for sharing all your secrets here. The other interesting thing about the Miracle Morning is that there are derivatives of this book. There's a Miracle Morning for real estate,
college students,
college salespeople,
parents and families,
all the things.
Entrepreneurs.
Tell me about your thought process in taking this main book and then turning it into a bunch of subsets of books.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why you should or should not do that, or when you should or should not do that, right?
So not everybody should do it?
No. Well, not no, but timing is what matters.
Okay.
So when Miracle Morning, it was very organic. I had the idea of a series just because Chicken Soup for the Soul. I mean, it was there far in the back of my head.
Sure.
But one of my, a former colleague called me a few months after, maybe, I don't know, 6 months after Miracle Morning came out. And his name is Ryan Snow. He's one of my co-authors. And he said, Hal, hey, since I've done Miracle Morning, like the practice, read the book and done the practice, he goes, my sales have skyrocketed. He said, so I bought it for everybody on my sales team. And it's like 90% of almost everyone, if not everyone, has read it. Their sales have skyrocketed. So he's like, I literally have measurable results since they got the book. Their sales went up. He said, have you thought about doing a series like Miracle Morning for salespeople, where you customize the content and the affirmations, everything for salespeople? I said, not salespeople specifically, but I vaguely thought about doing like a series. And I said, you want to co-author it? And he said, sure. And so I was like, all right. So we started down that road. And then I don't know how long, a few months later, somebody, a top real estate trainer reached out, Michael Mayer, actually, and Michael Reese, there was two of them that reached out. And they're like, hey, Miracle Morning, we're teaching it at our, like, in our events and stuff. Have you thought about doing Miracle Morning for real estate agents? Like, you're the second person that asked me. And I called both of them, like, hey, would you guys be up for all of us co-authoring it? Like, we're all, you know, just reach more people. And they're like, sure. So that's how it started to roll out. And then I hired a book, or I didn't hire, I partnered 50-50 with Honoré Corder. And Honoré Corder is a prolific writer. She's published 30 or 40, but I can't even keep track. Yeah,
she's been on the YouTube channel before.
Before, actually. Oh, that's right. I saw that. Yeah, you guys were in New York or something, weren't you, or somewhere?
We were doing some events.
Yeah. So Honoré and I serendipitously connected. I said, hey, and she had written a book series for single moms. And I said, and now she's more of a business writer, but I said, hey, do you want to talk about like partnering on a book series? Because like you've done it already. And, you know, so long story short, you know, we've written 13 or 14 books in the series now.
They're each co-authored with
each co-authored.
You and somebody else.
So yeah, the beauty of that here, for business model, this is beautiful. So I'll tell you the business model real quick, and then I'll tell you why and when to do it or not do it. The business model is I network, right? I go to events and, you know, and be on podcasts, whatever. And when I meet somebody that I think would be a good fit for a co-author, then I tell them about the book series and I propose. You know, I met Cameron Harold at Mastermind Talks, right? And then I met him again at Genius Network and we talked and he did Miracle Morning for Entrepreneurs, right? Joe Polish I met. So the point is I meet the co-author and I court them, see if they're a good fit, learn their values, learn their heart, make sure they fit. And then if they are interested, I used to send them a PDF. Now it's a website. And you can go model this. Go to miraclemorning.com/co-authors, I think. If not, Google miraclemorning.com. Yeah. So co-authors. And that explains the whole thing. And it says, here's the perks. Here's the requirements. I then introduce them to Honoré once they're like, yeah, I'm interested, right? There is a $25,000 co-author fee. Now I started with a $0 co-author fee. And then after we had
$25,000, if I want to co-author a book series after we've talked and you've kind of told me that that's something we could do together, I pay you $25,000.
It'd be $24,000 for you, Pat.
Oh, thanks. But you're getting paid.
And let me tell you, that is bold. Let me tell you how that came to be, right? Like I always, whenever I do anything, I always want to like tell people how much insecurity I have as a human. Like I'm a normal person. I'm afraid if I'm nervous, I'm, you know, afraid of getting rejected, all this. It was a coach that with conviction said, Hal, like I was coaching with him when we were working on the salespeople and the real estate book, the first two. He's like, tell me about your whole Miracle Morning brand and book and all this and the series. And I told him, he said, so he goes, do you charge a fee for someone to co-author in your series? I said, no. He said, you should charge at least 10 grand. I'm like, you know, swallow, like, 10, who's going to pay me 10 grand, you know?
And then they do the work.
Yeah, and then they write the book. So yeah, the way this series worked, by the way, here's another important tip. If you're going to do this, is I wrote the first four chapters of the book. And I basically took the original, and it took me like, you know, 100 hours or 50 hours. It took me a long time I took the entire original book. And I put it in the first four chapters. And then I made a bunch of blanks. Like, if you're a blank, here's why affirmations are important. Then the co-author goes in and they go, if you're an entrepreneur, affirmations help you to blank, right? So the whole thing's templated. It's blank, a lot of blank lines, but it sums up the entire first book. And this was my question. And if you're doing a series, you have to think about this. My concern, my fear was, how am I going to create a book series where it has enough of the original book that if someone's never read the original, they're going to be sold as well as they were in the original that they should actually do this, but not make it feel like the entire book is just the original book with the name, you know, changed to realtor or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And so, and this is, I think we nailed the formula and it took a long time. It was the first four chapters sum up the entire original book and it handles those points of why should you do this? How do you do this? And what do you do when you do this to maximize it?
So the savers end up in that section.
Yeah. So yeah, okay. And they're one of the chapters, right? One of the chapters is called It Takes 5 Minutes to Become a Morning Person. It's how to beat the snooze button, right?
Yeah.
First chapter is like the big picture. So, and then the co-author gets that and they've got 6 chapters to write of completely original content. And that meant that the majority of the book is, so the first four chapters, even if you've read the original, you're like, it feels like it's like really customized to what the niche you're interested in.
Yeah.
Right. And then B, it's a great reminder of the original. And they're like, oh yeah, I forgot. I stopped doing that. Dang it. Right. But then 60% you're guaranteeing that it's brand new content, high value, relevant content from these co-authors that have a lot of expertise.
So essentially what you're doing is you're kind of franchising the name.
Totally.
I mean, and allowing for somebody to come in and with the proven formula, put it into that particular niche.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's been, so we started out. So here's what happened. I had one book in being written. It was The Miracle Morning for Salespeople. And the realtor book, I had talked with one of the co-authors who we were, so we had already agreed verbally to write the book. I get a call right after I meet with my coach. And James Malinchek, by the way, is who was coaching me at that time. And I'm so grateful to James because this series wouldn't, I don't know what it would be without his input. But he said, yeah, Hal, you should charge 10 grand. Like, your whole world is building this Miracle Morning brand. Why would they just get a free ride on that? Like, and yes, it's going to benefit you to have them in the series, but you know, you need to, you deserve some money. So it was like, it was serendipitous where like 2 days later, this top real estate trainer reaches out and it was like the most heartfelt call. He's like, Hal, Miracle Morning has changed my life. He's like teared up. And he's like, I read it to my 2-year-old son every night. He goes, he doesn't even understand what I'm talking about, but I believe that the energy that you put into that book, the spirit, the intention, I want him to receive it the way I did. And I'm like, my God, I was so moved by it. He said, have you thought about doing a book for real estate agents? I go, we just agreed to that, but you have me so moved. And he said, who are you doing it with? And I told him, he goes, I know Michael Mayer, my other co-author. And I'm like, he goes, would you be up for talking to Michael and see if he would be up for having us do it with him? And yeah, I'm like, gosh, I don't want to step on his toes, you know, but anyway, long story short, he's like, I love that other guy, Michael Reese, you know? So we all did it together. Here's the important part. Sorry, I almost forgot. So Michael Reese goes, I literally did not have the cojones to quote anybody 10 grand. I could not get those words. I never quoted anybody 10 grand for anything, right? I wasn't speaking at that point yet for that much. He said, hey, is there any kind of fee to co-author? I almost said no. And then I heard James's voice, like, you need to stand up for what you deserve this. And I just went, I'm like, worst cases, he says no. And I'm like, it was hard to get the word. I'm like, $10,000 to co-author. And he's like, oh, done. I'm like, oh, I mean, I can remember sitting on my couch. I guess I was like,
20. I mean,
yeah. I'm like, oh, that was too easy. I'm like, how much would you pay you? No, I'm like, oh my gosh. And then right once you get one, you know, and then I'm like, hey, Henri, we just got $10,000 and here we go. And then we were off, you know, to the races. And then here's the beauty of it, right? Because now if you go to that miraclemorning.com/co-author, I don't have to have that conversation of it's $10,000 or anything.
Right.
I have the go here. And if it's a good fit. And by the way, the other requirement is you have to have at least 100,000 followers, either email subscribers, social media that are, you know, engaged followers. So most people, and that, the beauty of it too, is everybody asks me to co-author Miracle Morning books all the time. And I'm like, hey, yeah, check this out. See if you meet the requirements and if it, you know, everything else.
Them out, right?
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, and I have a lot of people come back and they're like, I only have 10,000 followers. They're like, but I have a goal now. I'm like, that's cool. So it turns out great. But, and then we raised the fee from 10 to 15, and then we raised it to 20, and then we just raised it to 25, actually. So you'll be the first person to pay 24.
Oh, okay. So then you had mentioned that this isn't something everybody should do. Is there a specific number or something to have a person go, okay, well, maybe I should save the book series for later?
Yeah. Talking about and promoting the same thing over and over and over and over and over again for years, most people, it's very boring. And we want entrepreneurial ADHD. We want something new, something different, chase the new fun thing. I've had a lot of people that they publish a book and then they call me, they reach out and they're like, hey, I want to do a series now. Like, can you tell me how to do it?
Just like you.
And the first question is, I go, how many copies have you sold of your original book? And they'll say 800 or 40 or whatever. And I go, okay, let me explain something. Miracle Morning has sold 1.5 million copies and each of the series book sell a fraction of that, a fraction. But they take just as much time, money, and energy to promote. And in fact, they then distract from your original book that you're promoting. You know, I mean, that you can promote both, I guess. But then people are going, which one do I buy, right? I said, so the success of your franchise, of your series, is directly in proportion to the success of the original book. So the point is, after you've gotten the original book to sell 10,000 copies, that's when I would even consider doing a series. So that, I mean, that's the short answer.
10,000 copies?
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, whew. A lot of great information. You just tapped into the brain of an amazing author, and I'm so
amazing looking
forward. This is mostly you, man, but look out for The Miracle Equation, available all the places there are books. Any final sort of piece of advice for the authors watching this right now?
Yeah, commit until. That's it, you know, and commit until. And you know, I go back to Miracle Equation. Two decisions, unwavering faith and extraordinary effort. Establish the faith in writing that says, this is in the book, right? The mantra that direct your focus on staying committed to something until you get there, because it almost always takes way freaking longer, often 10 years to be an overnight success, right? Mm-hmm. So in writing, create a mantra, an affirmation, a reminder, whatever the hell you want. I am committed to give it everything I have to blank, whatever your outcome is, right? To sell a million books, to write a book, to start a business, to make $100,000 a year, whatever. I am committed to give it everything I have to blank, your ideal outcome, until I get there, no matter what, there is no other option. So that's step one. It's just you reinforce your commitment every day. And then step two is real simple. You live in alignment with that faith by putting forth extraordinary effort. And to make it ordinary, you simply define what are the smallest amount of activities that will move the needle the most. And I believe if it's books, it's podcast interviews. I've done TV interviews. I've done national TV interviews. I sell more books on podcasts. And here's why theoretically I believe that is. First of all, to get on TV, usually you got to pay a lot of money. You got to hire publicists. You got to do something. The people that watch TV aren't necessarily, in fact, the large majority is society. And I think it's less than 5% read personal development business books, right? So you're reaching an audience where less than 5% are your target market, right? When you are on a podcast that is in a niche that is reaching the same audience that you're trying to reach, by default, by definition, they pursue personal and or professional development. They're doing it while they're listening to your show. And often they're on their phone or they're on their computer, not in the kitchen making breakfast for the kids while the show's on in the background. So that's it. Unwavering faith in writing that you're committed to do whatever it takes for as long as it takes to achieve your outcome. And then define what are the smallest amount of activities that will move your success done every day over an extended period of time, days, months, weeks, years, that will move your success from possible to probable to inevitable. And that's how you apply the miracle equation to books.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you. Make sure to check out all the links below for Hal and everything he has going on and all the other interviews we mentioned here on the show. Just keep going. Keep going, guys. I look forward to serving you with my books as well. And I wish you the best of luck with yours. Cheers. Take care. And Team Flynn for the win.
Wow. Just wow. Wow. Thank you so much, Hal, for just sharing all of that. That in and of itself could be a book alone. And anybody out there who's thinking about writing a book or who has written books before, I hope you enjoy this. Please let me know what you think. If you want to give a shout out to me and Hal on Instagram or Twitter, he's at Hal Elrod, I believe, H-A-L-E-L-R-O-D. And then I'm at Pat Flynn. And just let us know what you think. Also, there are show notes available, all the links and all the things mentioned. You can find them on the show notes on the blog at smartpassiveincome.com/session382. Once again, smartpassiveincome.com/session382. And finally, just a big plug for the book for Miracle Morning. It has been life-changing for me and just sort of the immediate behavioral changes and results that you can get from it, which, like we talked about, is one of the primary reasons why it's spreading so quickly, is something that is very smart and something you can experience as a reader as well as a marketer as well in this situation. So Hal, you're amazing. Thank you so much. And congrats on Miracle Equation, which had recently come out since recording this interview together. Check them out on the previous times Hal's been on the show, episode 167 and also, oh no, wait, what was it? 367, excuse me. And episode 140 way back in the day. And you can also find him on my YouTube channel as well. He's got some great stuff, an amazing community with over 200,000 people. It's just, wow, just super inspirational. Definitely a mentor to me and hopefully to you here in this episode as well. So, hey, Team Flynn, subscribe to Hal Elrod and his podcast if you haven't already. Subscribe to this one, definitely, if you haven't already. And just keep on going. I appreciate you and I look forward to serving you in the next episode of the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where I'm going to reveal a lot of stuff about my last book, Will It Fly, and actually share with you the numbers. So my specific numbers, earnings. This is like a podcast income report for my book that was published 3 years ago. Was it worth self-publishing it? Should I have gotten an advance for it? We'll see. Make sure you subscribe. That's coming next week. Till then, keep rocking it. Team Flynn for the win. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at www.smartpassiveincome.com.
Hey, if you're looking for a new podcast to add to your rotation, I've got one for you. It's called Dirty Money, and it's like a hybrid between a true crime and a business podcast. So hosts Jonathan Small and Dan Bova tell the tales of legendary scammers, con artists, and barely legal lowlifes who stop at nothing to rake in millions. Recent episodes include a man who looted $100 million from his own company. Crazy. Give it a listen. Head on over to Dirty Money right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.